سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It is not righteousness, it's not right that you should turn towards the east and the west. He says it's not right that you should turn towards the east and the west. Allah knew that this world will be divided into two parts, the east and the west. And He's saying that do not bow before the east, nor do you bow before the west. This is not right for a mu'min, for a believer. Neither should you go to the east, nor should you go to the west. So what is the right thing to do? He says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. But what is right, what is righteousness, what is good, is that you believe in Allah, you believe in the Day of Judgment, you believe in the angels, you believe in the book, and you believe in the prophets. In other words, this is what a mu'min and what righteousness is for a mu'min. What is birr for a mu'min is what? That he should believe in Allah. Should believe in Allah. My friends, when we try to know Allah, and we all know Him, we all believe in Him, that's why we're here, and all mu'mineen who believe in Allah, when you see Allah, when you try to know Allah, who is Allah? Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Who created us? Allah did. Who created this land? Allah did. Who created the skies? Allah did. Who created the various types of vegetations and animals? Allah did. Allah is the nucleus of the whole universe. Allah is the nucleus of the whole universe. Everyone in their essence, and all of creation in its essence belongs to Allah, and Allah is the originator, the one who brought it out into existence. He brought it out into existence. In other words, the nucleus is Allah. Everything goes back to Him. Everything has come from Him. Allah is the nucleus. I want you to understand that. First thing. If this is understood, that Allah is the nucleus, He is in the middle, He is the essence of everything, of every creation. No matter who it is, no matter what it is Allah who brought it out. Now, if that is the case, how did we come to know of Allah? How did you know about Allah? Who told you in regards to Allah? who came and identified Allah for you, who defined Allah for you, who described Allah for you, who is it that came forward to say that this is Allah? How did you know about Allah? Allah is the nucleus of the world, but how did you know about Allah? That is the question. My friends, we got to know about Allah through those people that Allah had sent. Through those prophets, anbiya, mursaleen, messengers that Allah had sent to us, who said that we have come from this one God. He is the one who sent us. The one God is the one who sent us. And I'm emphasizing this one God, because if there were two gods, then that other God would also have his prophets and messenger trying to describe to us, we have been sent by him. But everyone who came as a prophet and claimed to be a prophet and claimed to be a messenger and Rasul said that we have come from Allah. Allah is the one who sent us. In other words, they are the ones who described Allah for us. They are the ones who told about Allah. They are the ones who explained about Allah. So now when they are the ones who explained about Allah, what happened? Allah was the nucleus and these people were the radius, the circumference, the circle, the loop that is around the radius, that is around that nucleus. It is the Anbiya and Mursaleen who came to us and said, this is Allah. How would you know what Allah is? People used to worship the moon. People used to worship the sun. People used to worship animals. People used to worship themselves. In fact, sometimes they worship halwa. They worship halwa. They worshiped it all day. At night they ate it. They said, this is a useful God. At least we can eat it. Right? So people looked at all these different things and they saw, this is Allah, this is Allah, this is Allah. Who are those people that came and said that, no, this is not Allah. Allah is the one who has sent us. These were the prophets and the anbiya and the mursaleen. They are the ones who came and said that Allah is the one who sent us. He is one, believe in him. So these people were the ones who defined Allah for us. These people are the ones who described Allah for us. These people are the ones who presented Allah to us. So now what happened? Let me give an example so you understand the relationship of anbiya and Allah. I want you to understand this relationship between the two before I move to the next step. What is the relationship between these anbiya and these messengers and Allah? What is their relationship? Allah is their nucleus. They are the radius around it. For example, let me give you an example. If you take a protractor, ever used that before in class? A protractor is something that you make a circle with. It has one needle and a pencil on the other side, two legs. You put that one needle down and that will be the nucleus of the circle. And then you make the circle with the other hand. Take it, go around. When you make that circle and that circumference around that nucleus, when you made it, the circle exists because of the nucleus. The circle came out or came about because of that nucleus that's in it. If the dot wasn't there, the circle wouldn't be made. When one leg is on that dot and then you make the circle and you make that circle go around that dot, then the circle comes about. Its wujud, its existence comes about because of that dot that's in the middle. Now, when you make that circle and you take away the protractor, now what do you see? You see the circle, you don't see the nucleus. You see the circle, you don't see the nucleus, but the circle is proof that there's a nucleus. My friends, When Allah is the nucleus and the Anbiya are the circle around it, they came about because of Allah. But when Anbiya came and that circle was established, Allah was hidden behind them. Now if you want to know Allah, you will have to go through this circle which is known as Anbiya. So don't say or don't ask, where do we see Allah? Don't say that Allah is not seen. Allah is not seen. Why? Because the circle has been made. Now in order for you to recognize Allah, you will have to go to those who came from Him. That is where messengers are. Messengers are like the shield around Allah. They are the fortress around Allah. They are the qila around Allah, around Tawheed. Tawheed is now hidden behind Risalat. The oneness of God is hidden behind prophethood. It is hidden behind prophethood. And here, just to give some qualities so that we can understand, because this circle came about from this nucleus, the circle will have the same qualities that the nucleus has. Why? Because the nucleus is the one that brought about their existence. In order for us to recognize Allah, we recognize the prophets. We recognize prophet, and through prophet we recognize who Allah is. And speaking about ideology today, so that we will be able to understand different aspects and how this works, so that truths about and realities of Islam can come forward towards us. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the circle that is made out of a nucleus, the circle will have the attributes, the sifat that the nucleus has, because this circle has been made from this nucleus. When Anbiya and Mursaleen, when the messengers were sent by Allah in order to recognize Allah, then they have the same qualities and same attributes that Allah has, in order that we recognize Allah through them. Let me just take you a little bit through that so you understand some qualities. This ayat in Suratul Ahzab, I will read for you. It says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٌ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ. He says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ, Muhammad is not أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ, He is not the father of any of your men. He is not the father of any of your men. This rijalukum, understand, it's very important. When we read, we need to know why Allah mentioned certain things in certain ways. Rijalukum, He said, He is not the father of any of your men. Meaning He has His own men that He is the father of. He is not the father of any of your men. So what is He? He says, وَلَكِنْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَخَاتِمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. But He is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. And Allah knows everything. Allah has knowledge of everything. I want to concentrate on this last part. But before that, I want to just explain the ayat itself. So that should not be left unsaid and untold because of the confusion it might cause. Allah says that, Muhammad, you are not the father of these men, of their people. You are not the father. It's very clear, isn't it? He's not your father. Don't call him father. He's not your father. Now let me read another ayat from same Surah Ahzab, a small ayat. And I want you to compare these two ayahs together. First ayah is what? وَمَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ. This is the first ayah. The second ayah. النَّبِي أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. He says that this Nabi He is more awla, he is greater with in, he is, has more right on the mu'mineen than themselves. He is the wali of the mu'mineen. He has more awlawiyyat. He has more right on the believers than the believers themselves. Wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. And his wives are your mothers. His wives are your mothers. Azwajuhu ummahatuhum. And hence we see that the wives of the Prophet are ummahatul mu'mineen. They are the mothers of the believers. Now, if you understood this ayat, let's compare these two ayats. On one hand, Allah is saying that Muhammad is not your father. On the other hand, He's saying, but his wives are your mother. Allah, really, this confusion needs to be removed from us. Why is it that you're saying that Muhammad is not our father, but his wives are our mother? Either say, if Muhammad is our father, then his wives are mothers. If his wives are our mothers, if they're ummahatul mu'mineen, then he should be the father of mu'mineen. And if he is not the father of mu'mineen, then his wife should also not be ummahatul mu'mineen. But why are you saying that he is not the father and they are the mothers? Meaning they are the mothers, but he's not your father. Don't say he's your father, but his wives are your mother. His wife are your mother. So when we say Umm Salma, Ummul Mu'mineen, or Hazrat so-and-so, Ummul Mu'mineen, when we say that, what does that mean? My friend, do you understand the question here and the confusion here that must be cleared so that we don't fall into the trap of knowing what is the meaning of Ummul Mu'mineen and why at the same time in the same chapter Allah is saying, listen, these wives are your mother, but Rasulullah is not your father. Allah, what do you mean by that? Allah will say, and He's saying that, listen, what I mean by that is this, that this Muhammad, he is not like you, neither is he like your fathers, neither is he like your grandfathers, neither is he like your uncles or great-great-grandfathers. He is not like any of them. He is different than you. But his wives are like your mothers, are like your grandmothers, your aunts and your faraway aunts. If they make mistakes, his wives also make mistakes. Do not think that Prophet will ever be a father like yours who's going to make mistakes and is not masoom. Rasulullah is masoom, that's why he's not your father. And his wives are not masoom, that's why they're your mothers. When Ummul Mu'mineen said, what does it mean that you are a sinner like I am? You do sins like I do. Why? Because my mother sinned, you also sin. But Rasulullah is not your father. Why? Because he's masoom. He's different. Don't say he's your father. See, understand that, my friends. What Allah is saying where? Ummul Mu'mineen means that they are your mother, that it's haram for you to marry them. But don't say he's your father. He's different. You see, this, my friends, is why Allah says this. Now, let me go forward from here. I have more things to say, but we'll leave that for later. Let's go forward from here. This end of the ayat is what I want to convey. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah says that He has knowledge of everything. He has knowledge of everything. So we know that Allah is Alim. He has knowledge of everything. Now Allah, this Rasul, this Messenger came from you. If you are the nucleus, he is the circumference. If you are the dot, he is the circle. You brought him out, so whatever is in you, you have to give to him in order that we recognize you. So now if you have knowledge of everything, then you have to give him knowledge of everything also. You have to give him knowledge of everything also, if he has to be a mirror to you, if he has to be your reflection for us. And this is where you see Allah then speaks out and says, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Ya Habib, Ya Rasul, it is Allah who has taught you everything that you did not know. In other words, whatever you did not know, Allah has taught you that. Do you understand what that means? What did the Prophet knew? Tell me, my brothers, what did he know? How many things did he not know? Okay, let's put it this way. I'm in school. My teacher knows what to teach me this year. I don't know what I'm going to be taught this year. And I say, you know, I don't know all these things. How many things? List them out. How many things don't you know? You listed them out? All of that which is your jahal, all of that which is your ignorance, you don't know. You don't know, right? Now tell me, if you were to weigh on a scale things that you know and things that you don't know, which would be heavier? Which side would be heavier, the things that you know or the things that you don't know? So you know, that depends, subhanAllah. I can come down there, alhamdulillah, we'll hear from you. You understand that? What we don't know is so much. So much, right? Imagine that. Imagine that, we don't know so much. And Allah is telling the Prophet what? If Allah told you, listen, whatever you don't know, I am going to teach you. Whatever is your ignorance and jahal, I'm going to teach you. Imagine how much is that is going to be taught. Meaning that if after Allah removes your ignorance and gives you all the knowledge that you didn't know and you were ignorant of, tell me, is there any point that could be left where you're ignorant? Is there any place in your life, in your wujud, that you can find out this I don't know, I'm ignorant of? Tell me, my friends, understand this. Allah has said that I have taught you everything that you did not know. In other words, there is no point in your wujud that has filled with jahl. Everything is your wujud and your existence is ilm, and you are the sign of ilm. This is Rasulullah, my friends. Who is Rasulullah? Rasulullah is someone who we can never say that he is ignorant in any way. We can never say that he's ignorant in any way. Allah is saying that. He's saying, I've taught you everything you did not know. I taught you that. Now tell me, is there anyone who can say, no, Rasulullah didn't know this? Oh, Allah is saying he taught him. Who are you to say that? Who are you to say that? And because, you see, again, because people don't read Quran and don't understand Quran and don't know the maqam of Risalat, the maqam of Muhammad. You know, they end up making mistakes. They end up making mistakes. And the mistakes that they make influences their ideology and destroys their tawheed. If risalat, if prophethood is not understood, tawheed cannot be understood. If you want to go to tawheed, you have to go through prophethood. You have to go to Rasulullah in order to understand tawheed. If you don't understand who Rasulullah is, you will never understand what tawheed is. And if you have a distorted picture of Rasulullah, you will have a distorted picture of tawheed also. You have a distorted picture of Allah also. So now when Allah is saying, you know everything, I have taught you everything. You see, now, if people who don't understand Tawheed hear that, they say, Ma'azallah, you are saying that he has the same knowledge as Allah does? Baba, my friend, in what language should I explain this to you? Maybe if there's a handicap language that we can talk to you with, Are you, intellectually underdeveloped that you can't understand this? Why are you even trying to say that Allah and Prophet are the same? Don't you understand there's a difference between the one who knows and then the one who has taught Muhammad Ali knows? Don't you understand the difference between the teacher and the student? Don't you understand the difference between Khaliq and Makhluk? If Allah gave all the knowledge to Muhammad, what's your problem with it? That's Allah who gave it. Allah is the one who gave it. So now when Allah gave the knowledge, so now you say, now we make mistakes. Simple mistakes. And you know, even our own people have misunderstandings that. I want to clear these up right now. When it comes to praising Rasulullah, you see that the Muslims, they fall back. Okay, yeah, he's good, this and that. But when it comes to putting him down, they all like with, you know, certainty. Rasulullah was ummi. He was illiterate. He didn't know how to read and write. And they say it with pride. He didn't know how to read and write. But Allah says He taught him everything that he didn't know. If he didn't know how to read and write, then what is Allah saying here? What is Allah saying over here? That He taught you everything you did not know. He didn't teach you how to read and write? Oh yes, that one thing He forgot, yes. Allah is saying, again, let me read this for you so understand that. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Everything you did not know, Allah has taught you that. Allah taught you that, right? My friends, really, the argument about him being ummi and illiterate is so unintelligent and illogical. Really, it goes against the character of the Prophet and also the maqam of prophethood. You know, let's say, you know, my friends, I'll just stop my speech here just to say a few things here so we understand this, right? Let's say, my friends, that when we look at the ayat of the Quran, what is the character of the Prophet? He says in the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ صَفًّا وَكَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Then after that, he says that كَبُرَ مَقْتًا إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Allah hates it when you say something that you do not do. Ya Rasulullah, what are you saying? What are you saying? When we look at Rasulullah, what he is saying, Rasulullah is saying, learn to read and write. Learn to read and write. In fact, every kafir who used to be caught in war, he said, if you teach 10 Muslims how to read and write, you are free to go. Rasulullah, you are telling others how to read and write, but what is this? Our Muslim ulama are saying that you're illiterate. These maulanas are saying you're illiterate. How's that? Meaning you are teaching others to read and write and you're not reading and writing yourself. Nor are you willing to learn how to read and write. Now either we say that like reading and writing was so hard that Rasulullah couldn't do it. But you can't say he didn't want to do it. Let's say it was too hard for him. My friends, now let me just give you another angle to this. How many letters does Arabic have? How many? 28, alhamdulillah. 28 letters in Arabic. Tell me, for an Arab who speaks Arabic, how long does it take for him to recognize those 28 letters? How hard is it to know that this one line is Aleph? And this is Ba. Tell me, how long is it? Now tell me that the greatest man who walked on earth, the most intelligent man who walked on earth, was not able in his 63 years of life to learn 28 letters? Understand it, my friends? No. Right? How to understand history and how to understand Quran by knowing the maqam of Rasulullah. How do you know Rasulullah? You see, because of the fact that people didn't recognize him or refused to recognize him and they wanted to put him down. So now, when we speak of Rasulullah in the ideology that Ahlul Bayt have taught us, then the other Muslims look at us and say, oh, these people make Rasulullah, these people make Imam Ali look greater than Rasulullah. Isn't that the accusation? They say that Ali, these people, the way they speak of Ali, it's like Ali is higher than Rasulullah, he is greater than Rasulullah. This is the accusation, right? It is, isn't it? Well, you know, I like to be bold, that's the way I am. That's the way I am, whether you like it or not. Now let me just ask you a question, my friends. And I won't even ask you a question, I'll just say it. Tell me, we have been accused of making Ali sound greater than Rasulullah. Shias have been accused of that. And today I'm admitting that fact that yes, Ali is greater than Rasulullah. I'm admitting that fact. But I'll mention the difference. Ali is greater than what you think of Rasulullah, not what we think of Rasulullah as. The way you put him down and made him look so distorted, Ali is greater than that picture. But Ali is never greater than that picture that Rasulullah in reality is. This is why Ali says, Ana abdun min nabi de Muhammad. Salawat ala Muhammad. You didn't understand who Rasulullah is. That's why Ali, when we speak of Ali, he sounds all that. Oh my friends, you never knew who Rasulullah was. Yes, you know, we praise Rasulullah also. You know, but in order to know his praise, you have to be very brave. You have to be very courageous to know the haqiqat of Rasulullah. Really, you have to be brave. Let me today tell you in the next 5 minutes how great Rasulullah was. What kind of a shuja Rasulullah was. What kind of a person Rasulullah was. Let me just tell you in 5 minutes. You see, the Battle of Uhud. Khalid ibn Walid has attacked. Muslims are on the run. Farrar. Faster than a Ferrari. They are running away. The kuffar of Makkah did not come to kill Muslims. They didn't come to kill Muslims. The kuffar of Makkah came to kill Rasulullah. When Khalid ibn Walid saw that the Muslims are running, he did not run after them. They were running, he didn't run after them. Muslims flee the battlefield. No, hardly anyone was there. Khalid ibn Walid saw that, he turned around and saw that the Prophet is all alone. He said to his army, listen, that's our target, let's go there. The whole army, that whole cavalry that came to scramble the Muslims, now turned their attention towards the Prophet. And they came towards the Prophet. They came towards the Prophet, my friends. Prophet was all alone. No one was there. No one was there around him. He was all alone. And he was standing there. My friends, the whole army now is making a circle around him with their spears open and their swords in the air. To kill him. Their intention is to kill him. As they came near Rasulullah, there we saw him standing. We saw him standing. There was no shaking in his feet. There was no trembling in his heart. There was no quivering in his eyes. There was no doubt in his heart. He stood there with such calm and such serenity that even those who were coming near were wondering, why does he have so much peace? Why does he have so much tranquility in him? Not a bead of sweat could be found on his forehead. My friends, imagine this. If one person you get to know he has a gun over there, we have 10 sweat, you know, beads of sweat on our forehead and we are trying to blow it off. Rasulullah, the whole army is coming towards him and his courage is such. His courage is such that if you looked at him, you would be inspired to give your life and say, I'm hundreds of life for Rasulullah who has this much courage, who has this much faith, who has this much trust. Hundreds of life of ours being sacrificed for him. When Ali came and saved Rasulullah from these people, he came around him and saved Rasulullah, and Rasulullah was saved. Later on, Rasulullah mentioned this to Ali and said, Ali, you were very brave out there. You were very shuja out there. Ali said, this was an inspiration by watching you, how great you were in the battlefield. This was the greatness of Rasulullah. This was the shuja of Rasulullah. And you Muslims would have known it too if you had not run away. Because you ran away, you never saw this side of Rasulullah. You never saw the courage of Rasulullah. In order to know Rasulullah, you have to be courageous enough to stand in the battlefield. This, my friends, is Rasulullah. You want to know who Rasulullah is? He is the one who inspires others. He is the one who inspires Ali. So my friends, when we came to this ayat, it says, Allah says, but what? Rasul, I have taught you everything. Meaning that you did not, what you did not know, I have taught you that. Now Rasulullah is knowledge. He is knowledge. He has ilm. His ilm has no jahal. His ilm has no doubt. This is Rasulullah. Now just let me go one step forward if you send me salawats. Now my friends, because of the lack of time, I won't go into other things right now. Tomorrow inshallah, we will go more into details. And I want to come to imamat. With that, just one ayat, understand this ayat, and details inshallah I will give tomorrow. Details I will give tomorrow. Allah says in the Quran, وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Surely has come to you from Allah a light and an open book, an obvious and clear book. Two things came to the people. What are those two things? He says, first, there was nur that came to you. Then, the book came to you that is very clear and obvious. Two things came to you. Now we know that the book is Quran. If the book is Quran, tell me, what is the nur that came to us? Isn't this the wujud of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? My friends, Rasulullah is more. Allah says that in the Quran. He says two things came to you. Quran and Noor. Now if there's something that we didn't know, we didn't hear, we don't know. But the only second thing that came with Quran is Rasulullah. And Allah is saying this is Noor that has come to you. Noor has come to you. Ilm is Noor. Rasulullah is Noor. There was a time when we see that the Messenger of Allah was sitting with some companions. And this riwayat that I'm mentioning is from a very sharif book, right, known as Bukhari. And Bukhari has mentioned it in this hadith. In that hadith, he says that there are some companions who were sitting with Prophet and asking him questions, and the Prophet was upset with the questions they were asking. This is in the book of Ghadab. Ghadab. Kitab al-Ghadab. In Bukhari. Those who want to go and read it, read it there. So now, Rasulullah got mad, upset, according to this hadith, that These people were asking questions. A lot of times people were not smart enough to ask smart questions. Whatever the case was, they asking questions. So, what were the questions they're asking that you got upset of? Let me tell you. One person asked Rasulullah, "Who is my father?" He asked Rasulullah, "Who is my father?" And he was a very well-known person. Big family and everything. Big name, tribe and everything. He said, "Who is my father?" Rasulullah said, "The one you think who is your father is not your father. Someone else is your father." Looking at everyone, everyone was looking at him. Saying, "Where did you come from?" Someone else asked him a question, the same question. "Ya Rasulullah, who is my father?" He said, "Listen, your father is also not the one you call father. It is someone else." And then that person also lost his wind. He didn't know what to do. And now Rasulullah said, "Come on, any more questions?" And everyone stood up and said, "No, no, it's enough. It's enough. We don't want to ask any more questions. If we ask you questions, we'll all get into trouble." And then Rasulullah said, "Saluni, ask me whatever you want to ask me." This is in Bukhari. Go and see it. Rasulullah said this, "Saluni, ask me whatever you want to ask me." In other words, any question you want to ask me, whether it's of dunya or akhirat, I'm ready to answer to you. It is Allah who gave me knowledge, that's why I can say Saluni. So Rasulullah, if you have the ability to say Saluni. No. I want to say one more thing so that you understand what I'm saying, my friends. What did I read for you? I said, Allah sent you Noor and He sent you Kitab. Now the Kitab is what? Quran. Noor is Rasulullah. I'll give a supposition to you. A hypothetical question. Hypothetical question. My friends, two things He sent, Kitab and Noor, which is the Quran and Rasulullah. Tell me, if Allah decided to take up the Quran and say that, "Listen, I'm going to take this Quran back. I'll take this Quran back and I'll send another book." Tell me, is that other book that's going to come in place of the Quran, will that book be like the Quran or less than the Quran? If Allah takes the Quran and say, "Okay, you know what, I'm taking this back and I'll send you another book." Will this next book that's coming, will it be like the Quran or something dislike the Quran? For example, a novel. You know, for example, you know, Mafatihul Jinan or whatever. Tell me, if Allah takes the Quran away and wants to send another book, will that book that is coming from Allah, will it be like the Quran or dislike the Quran? It's like the Quran, right? Do you all agree with that? It should be like the Quran. Allah is sending it. And He's replacing the Quran with it. So now tell me, if Allah replaces the Quran, it will be like the Quran. Now if Allah takes Rasulullah, anyone that He's going to send in place of Rasulullah, tell me, is he going to be like Rasulullah or unlike Rasulullah? Brothers, I'm doing algebra for you. Right? I'm doing some math for you so you understand it very clearly. Just simple things that I'm mentioning to you. So now, this hadith that I mentioned, Rasulullah said, "Saluni." He said, "Saluni." He said, "Ask me." Now tell me, if someone other person in this world is like Rasulullah, then he can also make the same claim. The only one who has done that other than Rasulullah in this universe is Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is Ali, my friends. You want to know Ali, know Rasulullah and you will know Ali. You want to know Rasulullah, know Ali and then you will know Rasulullah. Tomorrow I'll go more in details, inshallah. This night, inshallah, we don't have time. We've already been extended this night. But inshallah, just to understand who Ali is, my friend. Ali is that circle around Rasulullah. Ali is that circle around Rasulullah. Wherever Rasulullah used to walk, Ali used to be his shade. Wherever Rasulullah used to walk, Ali used to be his shade. Really, my friends. How much did Ali love Rasulullah? I mean, what? How can we even gauge that? How can we even know that? How much did Ali love Rasulullah? My friends, if you understood the history, if you have read the history of Islam, then you will know what Ali, what Rasulullah meant to Ali. If there was any mu'min, there was any mu'min who was the truest sense of a mu'min, it was Ali towards Rasulullah. Allah, we see that Rasulullah, when he sent Ali to fight Amr ibn Abdul, he says, Baraza imana kullahu ila kufri kullihi. He said, I'm sending iman in its totality to fight against kufr in its completeness. This is Ali. You want to know Rasulullah? Know who Ali is. Know who Ali is. Really, my friends. All the greatness that we see from Ali, all the great feats that we have seen from Ali, you know, really, no one has ever seen such a person. And the only reason I say that is because, you see, it is Rasulullah who showed him that way to us. You see, in the same battle of Uhud, when the rumors were raised that Rasulullah is killed, that he has been killed, that he is dead, then it was Ali who took him. Those who have been to Uhud will know where Ali was standing. It was on a mountainside. He took Rasulullah, raised him up in such a way that everyone saw Rasulullah. Everyone saw Rasulullah and they knew that Rasulullah is still alive. Ali saved Rasulullah and he showed him in such a way that Ali was hidden behind. The only thing that you could see was Rasulullah. Rasulullah was in the front, Ali was behind. You could not see Ali. All you could see was Rasulullah. So now Rasulullah, this ihsan Ali has done on Rasulullah, that he saved that battle and he saved his mission by showing Rasulullah in such a way that he was hidden behind Rasulullah. And so now Rasulullah says, Ali, hal jaza'ul ihsan illa al-ihsan. Now ihsan you have done on me, I have to return that ihsan. Now Rasulullah knows, no one knows more than Rasulullah, that if someone does ihsan on you, you should return it. Ali had done an ihsan in Uhud by showing Rasulullah in such a way that Ali was hidden. And the same ihsan, Rasulullah replied back to him in Ghadir by showing Ali in such a way that Rasulullah was hidden behind him. That's why after Ghadir, all we saw was Ali. After Ghadir, all we saw was Ali. Why? Because Rasulullah put him in front of us like that. He put him in front of us like that. That's why if we love Ali, then we love Rasulullah. This is, my friends, that love that you want for Ali. That love that you want for Ali. But when you look at the character of Ali, that's why we show, why is it that we love him? You know, there are different stages of love. Not my topic now, sometime else. But yes, we love, you know, a lot of times we love Ali because of the great merits that he had. But when you look at the character of Ali, then you will see this. My friends, Ali was that person who conquered Khaybar when no one else was able to. He picked up the door that 40 men used to live by himself. By himself he picked up that door and threw it. And people were witness to it. They were amazed by what he had done. He was the one who killed Amr ibn Awd, Marhab, Antar. All these great warriors of the Arabs couldn't stand in front of him. His feats outshone everyone. His victories outshone everyone. But never did he claim victory. Never did he claim victory. Never did he say, yes, I am victorious. Never did he say, after all the battles he won for Islam, and this is the history of the only warrior in the history of mankind. In the history of mankind, this is the only warrior who has never lost a battle. Never did he lose a battle in his life. That warrior who has been undefeated warrior, that warrior never claimed victory. And the only time he claimed victory was when Ibn Muljim's sword hit the head of Ali and cracked it. And that's when Ali said, Fustu bi Rabbil Kaaba. Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba. This is Ali's character. Now Ali is victorious. You said that victory in the eyes of Ali is now that Ali is going to meet his creator, his Lord. This is victory for Ali. This is what victory means. This is Ali, my friends. When Ali was hit in the head, it was a poisonous sword. The sword had poison in it. And the poison would kill you instantly. This was Ali who was able to withstand that poison, but the pain of that poison was such that his head, that the aches in the head were such that it was so hard that Ali could not walk. My friends, his feet were not hurt, his hands were not hurt. But when Ali stood up to walk, he could not walk. Hassan has to hold him on one side. Hussein had to hold him on the other side. And they had to make him walk like that. Today, that Ali who killed the warriors of the Arab is trying to show us that look at Ali today. That no, this is the Ali that is going towards Allah, the one who can't even walk now without help. This is Ali who is going to Allah. This is Ali. My friends, it was so hard for Hassan and Hussein that they held Imam Ali by the hand. And you see, Ali, even in that time, and his head now is that poison is acting on his head, and he wasn't able to see clearly. Then when he heard that Ibn Muljim had been caught and they brought him in front of him, he saw that Ibn Muljim was crying in pain because they had tied the rope behind his back, his hands in the back so tightly. Ali said, loosen his rope up, loosen his rope up. Don't you see he's in pain? Ali, you're concerned. You are concerned about this person who has struck you. You are so much concerned about him. Ali, why are you concerned about him? That Ibn Muljim who has come and struck you in the head, and he has struck you and he has killed you, he's a criminal, and you are afraid that he's going to be in pain because his hands are tied. Ali will tell you, if he wants to tell you, if he asked him this question, I wanted people in Kufa to remember this of mine, this nature of mine, because when Zainab and Umm Kulthum and Sayyid al-Sajjad will be tied in rope, they should remember what Ali did to Ibn Muljim, and at least in that way they should loosen the ropes of Ali Ibn Hussein. They should loosen the ropes of Sajjad so that Sajjad doesn't walk like that. Ali was talking to Ibn Muljim, but his direction was towards Karbala, and he said, I want them to remember when they take my daughters as prisoners how to treat with them the way Ali has treated Ibn Muljim. This was Ali, my friends. This was Ali. When Ali stood up and they were taking him, my friends, what can we say? What can we say? When he was being taken to the house, the people were behind him, his companions, close companions were next to him. Everyone was there and everyone was crying, and they were crying and they knew that this blow to the head of Ali was fatal. This is going to take him towards his death. So now when you see that it was being taken there, when he was taken there, he called Hassan very close by. Just understand the emotion behind this, my friends, and then give your condolences to Rasulullah and to Fatima. My friends, when Ali was being taken, and these friends of his, close friends, companions were next to him, he called Hassan, who was next to him, and said, Hassan, tell my friend, tell these people to go away. Tell these people to go away from here. Hassan said, but my father, these are your companions, your close friends. He said, Hassan, I know, Hassan, these are my close friends. But don't you understand, when Zainab is going to see me like this, she will start to cry and her voice will be raised. I don't want these men to hear the voice of Zainab. I don't want Zainab to be heard by these men. Ya Ali, what can I tell you what happened after Karbala? It was Zainab and Umm Kulthum in the bazaar of Kufa. And you see that they are crying out and people are listening. Like they are a circus on the street. They are throwing stones at them. يا محمود بحكي محمد يا علاء بحكي علي يا فاطر صلى الله عليه وسلم بحكي يا محسن بحكي حسن يا قديم الحسن بحكي حسن all my give us the tawfiq to be on the right path the wisdom to understand your guidance hasten the reappearance of your Imam make us a sample when he comes واخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين